Good morning. I believe Brother Dye is going to pass out the paperwork today. Let's go to the book of First Corinthians, chapter number 1. First Corinthians, chapter number 1. Hope you're enjoying the warm weather. First Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 9. We'll start there. Just way of review, I think we covered the first point of this lesson a long time ago, so I'm going to quickly give you a review if you don't have your notes from there. I'll just give you the points, and then we'll go to the second point. We've been talking about real church, and we've come to lesson 7, and it's real fellowship. Real fellowship. So Christian fellowship provides encouragement and growth, and it's purposeful. Well, there's a reason for it. It's Christ-centered. And it provides a level of friendship not available through any other venue, all right? Due to the fact that you have to be born again and a child of God, all right? In order to enjoy this Christian fellowship. So we talked about that it establishes faith. So that's your first point if you want to take a note. If you already have it in another form, but I'm just going to review it here for you. So faith is established. That's point number one. Christian fellowship works to establish our faith. And then the main verse and chapter that we were looking at was Acts chapter number 2 and verse 42. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we highlighted under letter A, their subpoint letter A, is the idea of continuance, because of continuance. As we see there in Acts 2:42, they continued, all right? And salvation is only the beginning point in your walk with the Lord. True faith is ongoing. It's a continuance. It's a growth. All right? We're going to keep going at it. And then letter B, subpoint there, is because of continuance in the truth. All right? And you find in Acts 2:42 again, it says they specifically continued in the apostles' doctrine. All right? If we're not careful, we allow Christian fellowship to disintegrate, into simple socializing. Rather than remembering the truth that binds us together, we allow the bulk of our conversation to be focused on sports, hobbies, or other peripherals. Topics that even the world talks about. We may have some of those interests in common and enjoy talking about them, but we must remember that real fellowship is based in the common faith we have in Jesus Christ. Socializing is good, but as a Christian, we go on from socializing to going to through fellowship. All right? So now we come to our second point, and we're going to do that this morning, and then hopefully we'll finish this lesson, and we'll go on to the next lesson. I'm set to teach this month and next month, so you'll have me for a little bit, okay? So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll continue with our lesson this morning. Lord, we are thankful this morning that your house is open to us. I pray for those that might be away or still on their way, and we know that summer sometimes provides different things for people to do, such as going away and taking a rest and vacation. Lord, help them. I pray also for those of our brethren that I know that have talked to me that are ministering in other churches. I pray that you'd help them today as we see them, Lord willing, tonight. Help us in our learning this morning in Sunday school, help all the classes, even also the teachers that are teaching the different ages. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us what you would like for us to learn today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So point number 2, fellowship is the blank you have right there, is sustained, all right? Fellowship is sustained. Another characteristic of real fellowship is its longevity, all right? And as you fellowship with one another, the fellowship that you have with each other should cause you to want to do it more, all right? Your fellowship as a Christian brother or sister should want you to do it more. Something is wrong if you're fellowshipping and it's causing you to draw apart from each other. Something is wrong with your fellowship, all right? And if you follow some of the principles that the Bible talks about that true fellowship falls into, it should make us grow closer to each other, all right, and closer to the Lord. God's design for Christian fellowship is that it will be sustaining and encouraging, all right? That's the idea with that. Now, letter A there on your subpoint, letter A, it is sustained, how? Through Christ, all right? Letter A, through Christ, right? We're one in Christ, and our relationship is in Christ, and so relationship births fellowship, okay? When we get saved, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we enter into the family of God. We now belong to God's family, but He doesn't leave us just belonging. He gives us the sense of fellowship. Now we get to experience one another in a fulfilling way in a day-to-day basis or on a week-to-week basis as we see each other in the church. And some of us fellowship outside the church. I encourage anybody, I've said this before, you should strive to fellowship with your brethren outside of the confines of this building. Because the church is not just the building, although we talked about this in our early lessons, it is a special place, all right, that we meet. It is a place that is a local place. And so for us, if you're a member of Faith Bible Baptist Church, this is the place that we consider our local meeting place. But aside from that, there is a fact about church that makes it a living organism. And that is because the Bible likens it to this thing that it is composed and made up of living people, all right? We are alive, don't we not? And we have problem days, and we have good days. And so we need that fellowship because He designed it for encouragement and for helping us, provoking us to good work. There's a lot of tools that the fellowship, godly fellowship, provides for us. And so I encourage you, if you fellowship in the church here, make time for each other outside the confines of this building. Go out for a coffee with somebody. Go visit somebody together. Go do something together as brothers and sisters. All right? I love spending time with people that love Jesus. And you should do. You should too. It could be where your focus is to help another brother. Some of us help people move. I think of times that some of my brethren here help people move. They'll ask me to help. And guess what? I join in that because that's a form of fellowship. I'll go with them to help another brother. And I've moved some of you already in this room. I've helped you move someone you know or someone you care for or a friend of yours. I've helped you. All right? And that's something we should do. Or it could be just celebrating something that happened in someone's life. If somebody graduates from high school, they have a child, and they invite you to come to their house, you should go because it's another form you can really enrich this fellowship that we have. Guys, Faith Bible Church, Faith Bible Baptist Church does not only exist in this local place because we're a living organism. It exists outside of these buildings. That's why it's important that we pray for one another. That's why it's important that we're connected to one another. All right? We are the church, the living organism. Look at, because our fellowship is centered on Christ, we have a common base that is far more substantial than surface interest. Now, if you imagine of all the topics that we can all unite and all the different things you could do that we could all unite in, there's a lot of golfing going on lately in the church. And so that's something that you could participate in. They don't care if you don't hit the ball right. it's fine. As long as you're not obnoxious too much. But anyways, at any point, there's other things that's going on. There's some age-appropriate things that some of the young adults are getting into that maybe some of you older adults would not want to do. And there's some older adult things that are happening, like sitting around somewhere in a restaurant and eat and drink, right? And you might be able to do that with one another and fellowship here, seniors' dinner or stuff like that. But find that our basis and the center of our fellowship is an eternal one, because Jesus Christ has no beginning and has no end. And he's an all-knowing God, meaning he knows all things. So our learning and our fellowship and our conversation is not going to have an end. It's not going to have an end, because the subject matter that we unite in and that we talk about is the Word of God. And it's unexhausted. It's so true. But it doesn't get old. Again, if the Christian faith to you is getting dull and is getting mundane and is getting old, something is wrong either with your relationship with the Father. Something is wrong with your relationship with your church family. Something is wrong, if that is how you feel in it, all right? That's how you feel in it. And there's days that it's harder to relate to one another, because maybe you're suffering, maybe you're discouraged, maybe something didn't go according to your plans, and that makes your spirit a little bit more not up to par, per se, and you don't want to be around people. I understand that, but that should not be a consistent spirit you possess as a Christian. We are the people that the Bible talks about. We are in victory. We are on the victory side. We have won. If you read the last book, we have won. Our God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so at times there might be a day that you have a bad day. And by the way, let people have a bad day once in a while. All right? Let them have a bad day. Now, if they have continuance of this for a prolonged time, then care for them in the right, proper way, all right? Don't let them be a sour all the time, all right? Now look at it says, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, when we're fellowshipping with one another, Christ is involved. Whether two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And that's a promise that if we fellowship and we talk about the things of God, Jesus Christ is there to join us. He's an omniscient God. He's at all place at all time, omnipresent God. All right? As the 7th century preacher Thomas Brooks said, and there's a quote from this man, he said, "Let those be thy choicest companion who have made Christ their chief companion." That would be a good rule of thumb. If you want somebody to affect you and have an influence in your life, why not those that are of a close walk with Jesus Christ? All right? And that will help you in your life. God's design is that saved people fellowship with one another. You can't escape that truth. "Well, I am just an introvert." Well, get out of it. Because there's going to be a whole lot of people in heaven. There's going to be a whole lot of people in heaven. And there's a whole lot of people here that God wants you to have an effect on their life. Either as a brother in that they're saved, or somebody that might be lost. God wants you to touch somebody else. And so learn to overcome some of those things. Learn to overcome some of those things. And if you have to be some people, it drains them to be with other people. It's work for them to hang around other people, to have normal conversation. It's just the way they're built. Their personality is built that way. Don't give them a hard time if they have to say to you on a party, "I have to leave now." Let them go. At least they showed up. Unless they ate a few of your food you made, let them go. They don't have to be all day and spending the time over there. And some of us, crazy people, we're the last people to leave. Right? I like what my father-in-law used to say to people that comes to his house. He says, "All right, I'm gonna go to bed now so y'all can go home," because people don't want to go home, right? And so there are different kinds of level of people. Some people can find it energizing with a group of people. They're just that social butterfly. If they're with somebody, they're just having the time of their life, and they're pumped, all right? Okay, we need to enjoy them kind of people too. But that's the way it goes. So if you have to go apart, Jesus took time to be apart, right? As he ministered with people, as he did a full day's work, as he related to people, as he healed people, as he talked to them about different doctrinal issues, he taught them many things. And guess what he would do at times? He would come apart and he would have a time alone and he would go with God. He would pray. That was his energizing moment, all right, that he needed to be ministered unto, all right? Somebody said this, you can only give what you have. So if you don't have the power of God, you can't give the power of God. And so we need to draw to the power of God. We need to draw back to God and get re-energized so that we can do the work of God amongst people. If you care to do what a pastor does, and the pastor does, is that I learn of very, 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 very heavy things that people carry. Burdens has been given to me and has been relayed to me. You can't unhear something that has been said to you, especially with someone you love, someone you have a genuine care for. And they're going to give that to you. Some are having struggles in their physical health. Some are struggling financially. Some are struggling with broken relationships, many different kinds. And some are struggling just with themselves, forgiving themselves for something they've done. And they're living in this, I would call it the devil's tactic to live in fear instead of overcome the past. And God has forgiven us. God has given you now, you have rightfully reconciled the problem. You asked for forgiveness. You repented of the sin. Now go on. Don't live in that past of guilt because God has forgiven you. But as a pastor, you bear all those burdens. And it gets heavy. It gets heavy to bear burdens. All right? At times, you'll find yourself thinking of someone and you might shed some tears. At times, you'll hear of great news and it's like you've been in the desert for a long time and you've been needing some water and you hear somebody text you or you hear somebody says, this happened, a prayer got answered, and you can't help yourself but shout and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? And that's a job of somebody that cares. I'm a shepherd to the flock. Now, mind you, you might not be a shepherd like me, but you are in some way as a Christian shepherding one another, helping one another, helping each other in this life. And you might hear of a burden from some brother. You might hear of a burden from some sister. Or you might rejoice with them. And you see how fellowship is really, really important. A lot of times the devil gets in there and information that's been relayed to us that should be confidential becomes public because we don't know how to handle that ministry. The ministry of encouragement. The ministry of praying for one another. And so remember that as people bear some things to you and you're noticing in your mind, whoa, they're saying something to me that they wouldn't say to anybody else. Those are hints for you not to say them to anybody else. They're trusting you and they're wanting to build relationship with you and they're wanting to have genuine fellowship with you and then get there and be there with them. Be there with them. I said it before, people write unspoken on the prayer book, not for reason that I want to know so that I can know, but to show that I care, I should know some of those unspoken by those people because I've developed a relationship with them and we have good fellowship that they have said to me, Pastor, I can't say this to everybody else. I'm going to write on the prayer list this unspoken, but Pastor, this is what it is. And as Christian, we should strive to have a welcome spirit, attitude about us that people can come and get their heavy burden to you. Because in turn, you'll help all of us. Imagine if I carry everyone's burden. How many people are in here? Maybe 40 or 50 today? Or 30, I don't know. But if I have all of your burden, I have 30 burdens if you give me one apiece. I have 30 I'm carrying. What happened if Brother Mike or Pastor Seth or a few others here, besides Brother Kelly, other people, I don't want to miss anybody, says, Pastor, I'm going to be a friend to that person, and I'm going to carry, Brother Jeff here, I'm going to carry their burden. Well, that's one less burden that I might have to carry fully by myself. I know this brother, I know this sister, and that's happening all around us. I've been pastoring here for a short amount of time. There's people that have come alongside of me, and all there's maybe three or four of us know a burden that somebody's facing. And guess what? Guess what? Here's another level of fellowship. Those that are ministering to those individuals, not that we're gossiping about you, not that we're talking to everybody about you, but no, we find power in each other because the Holy Ghost is helping us. We pray together. We hold your burden together. And then we tag team and help you carry your burden. Guess what, Christian? You're looking for a job to do? Bear each other's burden. Learn to be trustworthy. Learn to know what it means to be confidential. Learn to know what it means to be approachable. Learn to know what it means to be kind. Because then people will come to you and they will give you things and you can help them. Can I fix any of the problems I have carrying today? Not a one of them. But guess what? I carry them with them and we carry it to the one that we know that cares. And if he does anything, he can do anything. He can totally help them in that situation. You know, sometimes it's encouraging to know somebody is going through the same thing you're going through. Sometimes it's encouraging to know that somebody did go through what you're going through now and they found that there is hope at the end. And how do you get all of those? By fellowshipping. By fellowshipping. It doesn't come as Moses. They're not going to come to you and you're not going to have a platform to speak like a preacher. That your platform is down here as we're dismissed. As I say, if anybody need anything, I'm here. You should be saying that in your heart. Lord, give me someone I can encourage. Give me a sister or a brother that I can speak grace to with my words. And you will help bear each other's burden. And you can be in fellowship. What is fellowship? It's partnership. It's the idea of sharing. Okay? When we receive Christ our Savior, we become partners, not only with him, but with all other believers, and especially the ones we see on a consistent basis here in our local church. Real fellowship takes place through sharing together in prayer, singing, gathering, Bible study, soul winning, serving, and the Lord's table. And by the way, we're going to have communion tonight, so be aware of that. And be back here tonight for our Lord's Supper. It is found as we observe in our regular function of the church in harmony with other Christians. Another author said it this way. There's a Christian failure to distinguish between socializing and fellowship. Although socializing is often both a part and a context of fellowship, it is possible to socialize without having fellowship. Socializing involves the sharing of human and earthly life. Christian fellowship involves the sharing of spiritual life. Don't misunderstand. Socializing is a valuable asset to the church and necessary for a balanced life. But we have gone beyond giving socializing the place it deserves. We have become willing to accept it as a substitute for fellowship, almost cheating ourselves of the Christian birthright of true fellowship altogether. I love to talk things with you about the weather. I love to talk things about you about flowers. I love to talk things to you about what food you like to eat. I have no problem with that because I'm a human being. You're a human being. But see, the idea of fellowship, biblical fellowship, goes beyond the steak we're eating together there on that dinner table. It goes to how's your marriage, my brother? How's your relationship with your children? How are your children doing spiritually, saying? And you know, those subject matters are hard to talk about, right? Especially if you have no relationship and you have no fellowship. You see somebody hurting and you can't even approach it. Why? Because you haven't set time to befriend them before the problem came. I'm setting up in my life, in our ministry here, I'm trying to reach to you. I'm trying to be in your life. I'm trying to be there because it'd be a lot, whole lot easier to help you when things happen if I'm already there. I've already invested. I've already praying for you. I've already know what's going on. And so that's what we need to do with each other. A lot of times we spring into action when disaster is unaverted. It's already a problem. It's already messy. That's when we're like, whoa, I need to do stuff now. That's great. I'm glad because the Bible says Jesus feels that way. In your time of need, in the very moment of your trouble, come to me. But Jesus said these two in other parts. He says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. He talked about that close fellowship. Close fellowship. Develop that with people. Learn to talk to them about spiritual things, especially your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. It might be awkward at first if you haven't done it before, but learn to do it. And sometimes with new people, you have to talk just the human specs for now, because you have to earn some of the things before you can say them, right? You just don't say things because you feel like you want to say them, all right? You have to earn some of their trust before you can impound and give them something heavy, right? You want to learn and be a part of them, all right? A lot of times with new people, I always say this, if you need anything at all, let me know. That's what I do, almost with anybody I knew. If you need anything, let me know. Now, I'm not promising I can help them with everything, but at least they're going to know if there is a problem and they're impressed to call. Guess what? I'm going to know about it because I simply made an approach. If you need anything, let me know. We should be that kind of a people. We should be a people that are in tune with each other so that before disaster strikes, we have some guardrails and maybe we can prevent a major catastrophe in people's lives. Guys, get to know my children. Would you please help me? Get to know my children. Mind you, I'm the parent. You're not. So let me do all the authoritative part of it. I don't know if that's a word, but let me do all the parenting. Let me be the father. But you could be my friend to help them. If you see my kid do something you know is wrong, you have every right to come to me and tell me. Let me know. And if you learn to develop a relationship with them, I'll even give you the chance to let them know yourself. Please don't jump again. That's dangerous. If you earn that with them, there's some people that you have earned that. They listen to you. All right? And I appreciate that. Why? Because you will help me someday help them make disaster, don't have a disaster in their life. And so let's do that with one another. Let's be that way with one another. You know, sometimes people, it's not that they don't know what's true, but sometimes it's when it's said, and a lot of times we're people, you know this, you can relate to this. We don't have a problem with the truth, but sometimes it would be nice to come with somebody we trust when they say some heavy things. And so learn that in your life, and I want to develop a relationship with you because someday I'm going to come to a brother or a sister that they would not rather take it from me saying it to them, especially I'm the pastor. Well, I'm learning that very fast. Because I'm very friendly, so I just talk to them, but I don't see sometimes their view on me is no longer just Chris Barron. He's the pastor, and he just told me that. So they got that like, oh, I'm so sorry. No. I was just trying to be friendly. I'm not trying to correct you as a pastor, right? And sometimes it's heavy coming from a pastor to tell somebody, right? But you could help with that. And you can tell them and they'll look at you as a friend. Oh, he's just another member. There's some power to that. Sometimes if you invite them rather than the pastor invites them, they'll more likely respond. Because, oh, it's not the pastor. It's just, you know, so-and-so in the church, you know. So we help each other in that, helping each other in fellowship. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's very, very paramount in our life, Christian, to live clean. Sometimes we don't think about it this way. But you know that your sin that you're dabbling with in secret, even though it might not affect anybody around you because they can't see it, but it does. But it does. Because you know why? It's affecting you. And as it affects you, we will see it somehow, some way. And maybe the capacity of what you could have done is hindered by that sin in secret. And so it will have an effect, even though we don't know what it is. And I don't want to know. I don't want to know people's dirty laundry, to be honest with you, because it doesn't help at times. But even if I don't know exactly what's wrong or what's bothering you, if you continue to let it bother you, it will have an effect on your behavior outside. And so some of us that are keen to know you will see it, and our fellowship will be hindered. You know that your sin can hinder fellowship with other Christians. As it hinders fellowship with the God of heaven, anybody that's trying to do right and you're doing wrong, it'll hinder our fellowship. So may I suggest and may I challenge each and every one that let's keep ourselves clean. Let's keep a short account with Jesus Christ, as the verse said, because it affects our relationship with each other as well. All right? Churches that lose their center of fellowship around Christ become more of a social club than a church. Not only must we fellowship with one another, but we must also forsake ungodly socializing. Just like sin needs to be avoided because it provides corruption to come into the church. All right? So we have to be careful to keep close to the Lord. All right? Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And if you know what that word means, that's kind of like what I did on Wednesday night. All right? I put you and made you responsible. Well, some of those kids, I made one cry. I made my daughter cry. I just made everybody cry, and I felt so bad. But what was I doing is I'm making them accountable to what they said they were going to do. And that's hard to do sometimes. But that's what God is saying here. When we reprove somebody, is we make them accountable. We say to them, brother, the Bible says we should not do this. And brother, I have to say, why are you doing that? And that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do. But that's what the Bible tells us to do. All right? In Ephesians 5. But rather, reprove them. Not only not fellowship with them in that, but tell them it is wrong. All right? Be firm and let them be accountable to the truth of the Word of God. Man, that's the problem sometimes with our friendship. We get so close, we're afraid to open our mouth. And our country is making laws and making craziness. And as Christians, we're afraid to say something. And I hope this last month, you have been taught we can say something respectfully and honorably, and we should. We should not keep our mouths quiet. And so is with wickedness all around us. We need to say it. We need to be kind, but yet we need to be firm. No, we will not participate in this. No, brother, I can't go there. All right? And just be kind. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? So stay close to Christ. Christ can't fellowship with you if you're in sin, because God cannot be in the presence of sin, all right? He doesn't want that. Letter B, it's sustained through Christ's local body, all right? All right? Fellowship is sustained. It's supposed to last forever. It's supposed to be going and going and going. It's supposed to just keep going. And how do we do that? Through Christ. And then another thing is through the local body. The fellowship of the local church is like a greenhouse for helpful, sustaining Christian growth. My fellowship with you, as much as I'm getting, and primarily I'm getting it from the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. So if you have teachers like Sunday school teachers or anybody that teaches or an evangelist or a missionary or a pastor, you're going to get a lot of the Word of God in a direct monologue way. I'm just going to give it to you. That's how it's set up. And you're going to hear it from me. And I hope the Holy Ghost is ministering to you as you're sitting there, and that you're not wasting your time by thinking about other things rather than paying attention to what God is saying to you to now. And so get yourself rested. Get some rest. Get yourself healthy so that you can be paying attention. And understand sometimes those are hard to do. Some people have to work throughout the wee hours of the morning to get to church. And I appreciate all of you that do that. And some are health issue that prevents them. And they have to take certain kinds of medicine. So I appreciate all of that. I'm not trying to be insensitive to those. But we need to get as much as we can from church. And so some of my help as a preacher is you, my brother and sister, to in your fellowship kind of continue the teaching of the Word of God. I'm liking the young adult that I go to and when I'm able to participate, because it's not a preaching session that somebody stands up and preach, but as we sit down and we talk about life, eventually it comes around to Christian fellowship. It comes to, they ask question about marriage, and you get to give them principles from the scripture, and you actually at times quote verses as we talk. And it helps build them up. So Christian fellowship is very, very, very important, and God designed it. It's part of God's design for a church to have fellowship. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: some Christians try to go to heaven alone, in solitude. But believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Now, this is obviously his opinion. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people. We are likened as a sheep. And sheep, we are according to God. That's how he views us. He's a shepherd. He's not a lion tamer. He's a shepherd. And he is with the sheep. Sad to say, sheep are also pretty dumb. But sad to say that for us. But you can see the nurturing and the power, because the focus is not on the sheep. The focus is on the great shepherd. And so I'm glad I'm part of his flock. All right? I'm glad I'm part of the Lord's flock. George Swinnock, a 17th century English Puritan, used a similar analogy when he pointed out, Satan watches for those vessels that sail without a convoy. All right? In sailor terms, we have currently, and I've been praying for the Philippines and U.S., we have unrest in the Philippines, South China Sea, but they paraded three of our carriers. And obviously, the carriers are the big ship, and you can see them, and there's little ship around them. But we know anytime a carrier isn't present, there is things unseen to our eyes that are part of the convoy. There's submarines underneath there you don't see. And I don't know, Brother Kelly, you know how many on a on the protocol of a carrier? Maybe I asked my dad. They have to have certain amount of ships around them as a convoy. You don't ever see a carrier by itself. Although it's the magnanimous part of the convoy, it's the hugest ship. But they don't ever go alone. They always have all the support that they need to have a successful mission. Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We can do better if we have good Christian friends surrounded by good Christian fellowship. You might not need a bunch of it, but you at least need some of it. Some of us could only take so much. Great, that's not a problem. But some need a lot more, so we need to have a lot more then. All right? Genuine Christian fellowship provides accountability and encouragement, challenge, comfort, edification, and exhortation. Every Christian is to actively engage in such fellowship. Keep your notes. We'll go on it on the third week. We'll go on the third point next week as our time has expired. So be aware of each other and learn what it means to have proper Christian fellowship. Hey, talk about a steak you want to eat. Talk about a sport or a hobby you're into. Some people like to fly airplanes, remote control airplanes, gas-powered airplanes. All right, go do that. Fine. Some people like to go golfing. Fine, go do that and talk about that. But eventually bring it around to have substance in your conversation and bring God in the situation and bring help to one another. Somebody somewhere is waiting for you to say something about Jesus. Either somebody needs salvation. You can't fellowship with the lost. We are not unequally yoked with them. But if you're a Christian, eventually God is going to bear witness with your spirit. And God's going to say to you, dear son, your brother is hurting in this way. Spend time with him and encourage him. Sis, daughter, there's a daughter that I have that needs you to write her a letter of encouragement. There is somebody I want you to pray for. I'm going to keep you awake at night at this time, because I'm going to put this person's name in your head, and I want you to go on your knees and pray for that person. Who has experienced some of those things? All of us? You know what that is? It's Christian fellowship. Building each other. You can do it alone. Oh my, it's better to do it with somebody else. Man, I like to have coffee. But if there's somebody there with me, having coffee with me, it's a whole lot of better. You know why sometimes? Because you get some free coffee when you have somebody else with you. Just kidding. Let's pray. Lord, bless. In Jesus' name we ask our Sunday morning and our Sunday night tonight. Thank you for all that's here. Bless everyone that might be sick or are in vacation. Pray for those that are our brothers and sisters that are ministering in other churches. Help them to be back with us again at time appointed. Bless our morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.